Chapter 15. Kovac woke to a pounding he thought was inside his head. The clock read 7:32 in the morning on Saturday. He rolled out of bed, naked as the day he was born, and went to look out the window. On the roof of the house next door, his idiot neighbor was swinging a hammer. The sound reverberated in the otherwise still morning air like gunshots. Kovac shoved the old double-hung window open.
"Hey, Elmer Fudd, what the hell are you doing?" he shouted.
The neighbor looked over at him, hammer cocked in his hand like he might throw it. The guy was 70-plus, with mean, piggy little eyes and more hair growing out of his ears than on his head. Not that his head could be seen. He wore his favorite red plaid bomber cap with the flaps tied up on top of his head. The ends of the ties stuck up like antennae.
"Getting a jump on the Christmas lights," he said.
"At 7:30 in the morning."
The old man frowned deeply.
"You've got a filthy mouth on you."
"I'm not even warmed up," Kovac said. "Are you out of your fucking head? Christmas? It isn't even Halloween."
"Shows what you know," the old man shouted. "Farmer's Almanac says it's an early winter. Could be a blizzard by Halloween."
"Could be. I'm gonna shoot you dead off that roof if you don't stop with the hammer."
The neighbor gave him a face.
"I'm within my rights. City ordinance says I can bang all I want after 7:30 a.m.
Dismissing Kovac, the old man teed up a nail and smacked it into his roof. Every year, it was the same thing. The most god-awful array of mixed holiday messages filled the man's yard, crowned his roof, hung from the eaves, lit up the trees. Santa Claus bringing gifts to the baby Jesus, the herald angel beaming down on an army of plywood snowmen, all of it illuminated with more wattage than the whole of Times Square. For 8 weeks, it was like living next door to the sun.
"You ever hear of common courtesy, you rancid old fart?"
The old man stuck his tongue out. Kovac turned around and mooned him. So began his day. A shower, the patch, coffee, a couple of donuts just to perpetuate the stereotype. The local morning news was all about Carl Dahl's escape and the public outcry caused by it. The attack on Carrie Moore was a distant second. Half the city probably thought she deserved it. Now that the newsies had all but announced her home address, there would probably be a steady stream of cars driving by to egg her house. Or worse. Kovac sighed, rubbed a hand over his face, and tried to decide where to start. He or Liska would have to speak to the judge's clerk, see if she had any hate mail on file, cross-reference the phone number from the two threatening calls with the judge's phone logs. They needed to get a printout of any recently released felons Carrie Moore had put away in her capacity as either prosecutor or judge. They had to meet Lieutenant Dawes downtown at 9, so she could impress upon them what her boss had no doubt already impressed upon her, and write up the food chain to the chief, who had already been read the riot act by the mayor and the county attorney, who had heard it from the state attorney general. Kovac and Liska would be lectured on the gravity of the situation, like they were morons who hadn't managed to figure that out for themselves. Christ, how he hated the politics of the system. He had always wanted to line up the brass monkeys, ask those who hadn't worked on the street in the last decade to take a giant step back and have them drop into a big black hole. If he could avoid that meeting, postpone it until, say, the case was solved, he would. He needed to speak with Stan Dempsey. "Man, you are desperate." Kovac had never balked at going after a bad cop. A wrong guy was a wrong guy, badge or no. He'd even toughed out a stretch working internal affairs a million years ago. He hadn't liked it, but he'd done it. But Stan Dempsey wasn't a bad cop. Kovac felt nothing but pity for the man. Stan Dempsey was a guy who had plodded along through life mostly under the radar. A decent cop, but no one the brass would take notice of until they decided he was a liability. He was a guy who really didn't have any friends, because he was odd and quiet and antisocial. Stan Dempsey would probably have been more comfortable working in the morgue than on the streets, but he was a cop, and that was probably all he had ever wanted to be.